welcome, everybody, to episode 410 of RP Grinders. I'm your host, Frank Branches, alongside my trusty cohorts, Eric the Great, Breakman the Bold, and the Frosty One himself may be in a little bit later. He's running a little bit late, so we'll see if he gets on in.
I've heard he's battling Matthew right now.
Yeah, either that or he's looking for one of those Harambe costumes that MXT is linking in chat, and I did not click on that link.
Sure you didn't.
I did
actually,
not.
You know what? If you did, you'd probably be scarred, and you'd probably say, God. I need to turn the show off right now. I gotta go to bed.
Yeah, let's just kill the chat. That's the end of the show, everybody.
we need an adult.
All right, gents, how was your week, guys? Don't everybody talk at once. Mostly okay.
I agree. It's been a busy week.
I figured out what was wrong with my, or rather, my brother figured out what was wrong with my computer.
What was it? Your motherboard?
No. It's more like I think a combination of several parts. It's just too old, and it's just malfunctioning at this point. Which apparently includes not booting.
Wow.
With certain power supplies or hard drives.
What? How weird. Yeah. It's like programmed weird.
That's weird. I saw signs of this like months ago where with the computer I'd come home to find the computer randomly reset and doing some kind of like diagnostic but getting like stuck on a certain part and instead of booting and I'd have to hit the reset button to get it going.
Oof. Yeah, that's when you know some glitchy shit's going on. You should just probably think about getting a new one.
My brother's just gonna give me his old rig and put my video card in it.
Yeah. There you go, man. That sounds cool.
I have to reinstall the stuff on the hard drive, though, because I think I need a new hard drive.
Jesus, man.
With a fresh install of Windows 10.
Oh, man. The perils of Windows, man. I swear, that shit sucks. What about you, Breakman?
I don't know. I mean, when he gave me his, it was probably a couple of years old already, so who knows.
You, Breakman?
And I've had fine. I've had it for almost 3 years, so.
No, how is
it for shitty Windows on it?
Yeah, exactly.
Fuck you, Windows 8.
It was a Windows 7 machine, but I put 10 on it.
That's good.
Even if I didn't put 10 on it, Windows would have done it anyways. That's eventually through its automatic updates.
I tried a billion times. Literally a billion, I counted, times to get Windows 10 on the system. And
speaking of Barnes & Noble, I don't think they accept debit cards because I tried to get Super Mario Adventures on there, and it said it had problems authenticating my card. It's like, yeah, so they're probably credit only.
Yeah, I think you mentioned it a billion times on the show, Breakman, about trying to put Windows 10 on there, and you just couldn't get that.
No, it was 976,312 times. I counted. I'm sorry.
Breakman just emits like some kind of absolute terror field, but for electronics, that just make that fails.
Yeah, exactly. All right, let's get started.
Worst superpower ever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, Eric, why don't we get this news done and over with, man?
First of all, from Gamatsu, we've got a Danganronpa 1-2 reload announcement for the PS4. And back when we first learned about Danganronpa getting localized, Danganronpa 1-2 reload was, I think, just a Vita release, but they're porting it to the PS4. And you can get it both physically and digitally, but like years later, we're getting this game in some form. But if you already have the other two, there's really no point to
getting that one. You kind of broke up there, Eric, but you still there?
Hello?
Yeah, you there?
Hello? Hello?
What happened, Eric?
Eric. Exactly. Hello?
All right, we'll try to get Eric back.
Eric!
We'll try to get Eric back. You want to finish up the story here so I can try to get him back, Break?
We still on the first story? Yeah. I don't even know what happened.
All right, just go to the second story while I try to get him back here.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. I'm getting an error message. Why am I getting this error message? What is this crap? Block this communication. No, allow this. I'm trying to read it on the air, you goddamn asshole.
There must have been a delay because I kept hearing you talk, despite the fact I was apparently disconnected.
Yeah, well.
I'd like to read the next story, but it has been blocked and it won't let me through.
Anyways, did you read all the art book stuff?
Yeah, there was a little bit about the game that we went through, Eric. We're on to the next story.
Okay, let me see if this will load now. Coming to us live from Gamatsu. And I'm probably just going to skip the title because it seems like they like to put the title in the first paragraph.
Right.
Root Letter will launch a PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in North America on November. I said something stupid there. Root Letter will launch for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in North America on November 1st and in Europe on October 28th. Publisher P-Cube announced the game will be available in Standard, Limited, and Pen Pal Edition. The Pen Pal Edition? What? Say what now?
I have no idea, man.
P-Cube. Yeah, that's – P-Cube also released a new – sorry, I scrolled too far. Also released a new story trailer. The story of Root Letter is told through the letters a girl named Aya wrote to you in high school, along with your own investigation as you probe for clues and witnesses from her old hometown regarding her disappearance. Hmm. That sounds interesting. There's a trailer. I'll give it to the chatters, but yeah. Why do you keep high school letters? Do you, Frank, you have all your high school love letters, don't you?
Oh, you know what? They're on display in my hallway.
First thing you see when you come to Frank's house.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. You see all my high school love letters. It's like works of art. All right, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu, guys.
There's this prom picture blown up.
Yeah. Exactly. It's one of those cheesy mullet pictures from like the 80s. All right, guys, let's move on to the next story from Gamatsu. Sword Art Online, Memory Defrag coming west. Bandai Namco is bringing Sword Art Online, Jesus Christ, August 31st to the west. You're right about them putting the same sentence in the first paragraph. It's weird.
I wish I could defrag this website.
I know. Jesus, man, what the fuck? Pre-registration is now available at the game's official website. If 30,000 players pre-register, all players will get 4 in-game Asuna-related rewards, including her kitchen knife, apron, 5 memory diamonds, and camisole Asuna. Additionally, pre-registered users will have the chance to win a Sword Art Online Hollow Realization Collector's Edition.
And her name's Asuna.
Asuna. Here's an overview of the game. Via its website, experience the anime story, play with your favorite characters, and join parties with friends and other players.
How about not, because the anime was terrible?
can you hook up with the guy?
I don't know.
Her husband, her online husband, technically?
I think you're technically going to be playing as a like that extra dude that just showed up out of nowhere in the Ghostbusters game. It's like, okay, yeah.
I like the game, but I really wish they'd let you play as like one of the original characters.
Dungeon Buster, all of them with the crinkly folds preserved under glass. Yeah. Like what do you call it? Independence, the Declaration of Independence. Exactly, man. All right, Eric, next story, man. God,
next
how
story,
you
come another one from Komatsu, and this one's a little sad, but Final Fantasy art director Yusuke Nara leaves Square Enix after 24 years. Says that he's going to continue doing jobs for Square Enix, but he's leaving his position, I guess. So we haven't seen the last of him, but it's kind of sad to see the old talent, like, leave him by the wayside.
Well, do you think he's made enough money over the years to, like, you know, be cool?
And this is probably going to end with him eventually leaving the company, though.
Yeah, I understand that.
Maybe it's because he wants to do his own stuff, though. Maybe he's worked long enough for this company. Like, he's happy to do stuff for them, but maybe he wants to do his own stuff and have his own, like, trademark on
it. So what, he's going to work for the company but not actually hold a position on anywhere in the company.
Yeah, he'd want to own like maybe.
The so what, are they going to pay him under the table or something?
No,
no. I'm not saying that. I'm saying like him having ownership of what he draws, all the artwork he does.
Yeah,
like he does not have ownership of that now.
Yeah, he might be in the position that a lot of comic book artists are in that regard. Like they work under Marvel.
Why a lot of big. I'm sorry, Frank. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but it's why a lot of big like known developers moved away from companies like Inafune. And stuff.
Yeah.
Anyways,
I think it was mostly because they want ownership of their of what they've done.
Yeah.
Anyways,
yeah.
It says here in a series of tweets, this is a bunch of things he said. On September 30th, I resigned from Square Enix after working for them for 24 years. My family and mine will be going back to my hometown in Izumo. Yesterday, Tabasa-chan, Hajime Tabata, by the way, showed me the ending of Final Fantasy 15. It was my final job, and it was the best ending. Everyone has been amazing. We did a great job. I'm a little regretful that the release date was pushed back, but I'm happy to be given credit. After my resignation, I will continue doing illustrations, designs, and the like as jobs for Square Enix, and I want to take on various challenges, so I appreciate your support. I'm grateful for all the experiences I was able to have with so many people, and here's a list of everything he's worked on.
Yeah,
Final Fantasy 5, 6, Chrono Trigger, a game called Treasure Conflicts, which I've never heard of before, actually.
Yeah, we kind of get the idea.
Pretty much everything that Square has done in the last 24 years.
Yeah, it is sad, Eric, but in that series of tweets, like, you can definitely tell, like, it he wants to get back to his family. They probably work him.
I was just speculating that maybe he wanted to, maybe like I said, own his own properties and stuff like that. Maybe he wants to just be with his family.
Yeah, maybe
maybe he'll be one of the team members of like a Kickstarter project in future.
Yeah,
maybe he's worked like a dog or something to that effect. He's worked long enough. He hasn't got to see his family, and maybe he just misses them.
Yeah, maybe he wants the best of both worlds.
Or they do lock him in cages.
No,
of course, this is Squinix. Didn't you know that?
Yeah, they lock them behind bars. Like it's prison, and you have to sign up for 24 years working for them in a prison.
No, it's 20 years. He volunteered for more.
Oh, I got you. There you go.
Or no, wait. I'm sorry. You don't volunteer per se, but you're
recruited. You're recruited to Square Enix
for a few more years, like 4 more years. No,
exactly. So
but this isn't a dev though. This is just an art director. Dungeon Buster saying some devs leave bigger studios just to go back. And I keep hearing rollovers, even though I'm not looking at them.
Yeah. Yeah, and then Dungeon Buster has it right. Some leave and then go back, and then you know. Because they miss that dynamic. But sometimes they go back, you know. They get enough of the small time and they want to go back and they like that type of lifestyle or whatever. It's like that's just how life works. Like you just kind
of... Wait, they make Nendoroids of North American cartoons now.
Yeah.
Cora Nendoroid, as I'm reading in the chat. Wayland apparently saw one.
All right. Breakman, why don't you do the next story, man? Are you there, Break?
Yes, I'm here. What happened?
Next story, please.
Oh, okay. I'm coming to us live from Silicon Era. Visual novel Love, Money, Rock and Roll takes player to 80s Japan. Wow. Okay, now.
That's cool.
Visual novel Love, Money, Rock and Roll follows
Also, people have been having fun with the logo's font and making up weird things like a space lizard.
Yeah.
Nikolai, a Russian foreign exchange student, a young man whose parents died in a production accident. I'm just kidding about the foreign exchange student because his name's fucking Nikolai, for God's sakes. Alone and living in Japan, he soon finds himself caught up in a torrent of personal events, political schemes, and potential romance. Uh-oh. I like where this is going. With 80s Japan as a backdrop, players can try to work through the constant stream of difficulties Nikolai faces with the help of the game's various heroines. Wait, he's doing heroin? Four women may be vying to get... Dude, that's like an epidemic. Vying to get close to him from a childhood friend to exes to class reps to the daughter of the school's chairman. Jesus Christ, what is this guy? He must be like rich and like have like an 8-pack or 12-pack and shit and long flowing blonde hair or something. It's up to
Flaren. On the cover of romance novels.
Yeah, like really, like he's got a choice of every woman apparently.
This sounds almost like a harem story.
Yeah, like he sounds like he's Fabio in 1985 or some shit. Like this is Fabio. Ridiculous.
You remember
each of the four heroines has her own personality and temperament that the player will discover over the game's full 300,000-word script. Who's curious to sample the writing and characters of the game?
I'd say this game's about 60 hours long now.
Jeez. Holy shit.
There's a demo available through Kickstarter.
There you go.
And the Space Lizard comment I was talking about basically has to do with Alex Jones.
Yeah. All right. Let's move on to the next story. This comes to us from Siliconera. Story of Seasons, Trio of Towns. Pre-orders come with a capybara. I believe that's how that's pronounced. Pre-order incentive has been announced. Like I said, it's 3.5 inches tall. Pocket plush will accompany all pre-orders. In addition to the Story of Seasons Trio of Towns pre-order promotion, Exceed has announced a price drop for other entries in the series it has published. So that's kind of the norm, huh? When people release like a new game, they kind of give a discount on their previous titles kind of deal. Yeah.
It's smart business.
That's super smart business. If you like this, you'll like reliving this other game or whatever. So that's pretty cool.
Or if you're not sure about this game, you should try one of these other games that we made. It's a lot cheaper right now. Mm-hmm. See how this is. Maybe you'll like that.
Yeah, like a lot of the Kemco games with you, Break. You try one
I haven't played a Kemco game in a long time, dude.
Yeah, I know, but like when you were playing them, you got a sale and then you maybe bought another game or something. I don't know.
It's I bought a couple I haven't even played because they were like a dollar.
Yeah,
whatever.
Like a dollar. All right, Eric. Next story, please.
Next story is from Silly String Era. Circle Entertainment announces that they're bringing Mercenary Saga 3 westward. The strategy RPG published by Circle Entertainment was recently announced to be releasing in Japanese Nintendo 3DS on October 5th, but apparently it's also been confirmed for localization. But it says the title features a style and gameplay which may be enjoyed by fans of Final Fantasy Tactics. And the Great English version is being submitted to Nintendo of America and Nintendo of Europe in the near future.
Yeah, Breakman's down for this, I bet.
Another he doesn't have a 3DS or 2DS yet.
I know. This is a reason to get it. Is this a reason to get it, Breakman? 3DS?
Yes.
Another potential Final Fantasy Tactics. He's like sort
well,
of excited.
Well, it's Circle Entertainment, so I wouldn't get my hopes up. Yeah. They're a small publisher, so they can only pick up games from small developers. But there's some nice ones that they've done.
Yeah. All right. All right, Breakman, next story, please.
Hold on, I'm posting the link. God.
Oh, shit.
I mean,
here's some other games you could look forward to from Circle Ant before you move on. Mr. Pumpkin Adventure for the Wii U, Fire Rooney 2, and Ash in Europe's 3DS shop.
When anybody says Ash, I think Evil Dead.
Me too. That's the first thing that comes to mind. Coming to us live from Silicon Era, oh god. Laughter and Love await in South Korea and Otomi, VN, Heart, and Soul? I don't know how to pronounce
that.
Sail? When Kim and Yoonji finds herself house-sitting her uncle's apartment in the capital of South Korea, she isn't prepared for the good times, laughter, and romance that await her in Heart and Seal. The Otomi visual novel soon has the player meeting a handful of handsome, charming locals, and from there it's up to the player to decide how the relationships with them play out. Through their decisions, they can help Kim Yoonji reach one of six different endings during her spring break getaway. Heart and Seal is running a greenlight campaign in advance of its projected release in October.
Sail.
It looks like Soul. Sail. It looks like Seoul, like Seoul, South Korea, Heart and Soul.
I have a hard time pronouncing that. S-E-O-U-L.
Heart and Sail.
Sale.
All right. Close enough. All right. Next story comes to us from Silicon Era. Hegemony, I hope I pronounced that right. Hegemony passes
Hegemon, basically.
Hegemon, 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 whatever. Jesus. I don't even know. Like, most of these names I want to do, like, the one-syllable breakdown.
No, it is Hegemon because it's a play on Hegemon.
All right. Hegemon Pass is a turn-based. This is so much easier. Turn-based RPG of Cute Knights and Underworld Power. When Demeter steals the title of Queen of the Underworld from Persephone, the only people she can turn to are a group of three cute knights in side-scrolling turn-based RPG. How do we pronounce it? Hegemon Pass? Oh, fuck.
What?
Hegemon. Persephone can only loan her power to one of the knights at a time, which results in the game's leadership system. Being the chosen leader in combat means that knight conveys special bonuses on the groups and penalties for the enemy. However, should that knight fall, the player gets an instant game over. The enemy team also has their own leader, though, and the player wins a fight the moment the enemy leader dies. That's kind of a neat concept. Role of the leader can be passed during the character's turn using the... Eric, you're going to have to say this again, man. Hegemon?
Hegemon! Yeah, don't you know what a hegemon is?
I have no idea.
Oh, I don't know what it is.
I don't know what a hegemon is. Hegemon pass command, which can be used to save the player from losing. All the knights have their own specific bonuses they confer as leader. So this ability can be used to switch to a new set of benefits. So I get it. I get it. That's kind of cool. That's a cool little concept.
I'm good. I'm you down. Get it because I'm still completely confused.
Yeah, hegemon. All right, Eric, why don't you do the next story?
Next story is from Gamatsu. This is a Senran Kagura one. I think Breakman will like this one, but apparently the link died, so I had to go to redirect. But here we are. The latest Senran Kagura game. Yeah, I'm just doing a break, as I'm not even reading the headlines anymore. Is an action shooting game called Senran Kagura Peach Beach Splash for the PlayStation 4. The latest issue of Weekly Famitsu reveals it will launch March 16th at Japan 2017. In it, players will use a water gun and partake in exciting team battles. Sounds a lot like Splatoon, but
I like to wear this.
Girls in wet shirts and
I really like where this is going.
Probably sexual innuendo and fan service.
Oh man. Are any of these type
Shut
of
up,
games?
Frankie's
any,
talking.
Any? I know he's talking. He's talking about boobs. Damn it, boobs. are any of these games any good, Eric? Do you know of any of these?
Depending on who you talk to, they're either garbage or they're actually good.
But like
in other words, they're garbage.
Yeah. Because I'd be curious. What is the best one of these type of games that people just
the proper series, the ones that don't involve squirt guns, are hack and slash games.
Yeah.
And they're okay hack and slash games. They're not super amazing, but they're in the 7 range.
Yeah, I'm not interested in Senran Kagura this game.
The big gimmick is that their clothes get destroyed as you keep slashing them.
Oh, even better. Yeah. All right. Next story.
That sounds better. What? What were you saying? I'm sorry.
But this one's basically Splatoon, but with girls and yeah. Lewdness.
All right.
It's the best game I've ever heard of.
Yeah, exactly, Blake.
Sorry, man.
Next story on that note. PC.
But you need a PS4 break, so you gotta get a PS4 if you want to get your wank on.
Oh, man. I guess you could get your wank on with this next game. This comes to us from OperationRainfall.com. PC Neptunia Rebirth games are getting a retail trilogy pack. Let me just see what the date is on that. Looks like November 4th, and the price tag $69, but you'll $69.99. But it'll contain the following digital Steam codes for Rebirth games on the card. So that includes Rebirth 1, Rebirth 2, Sisters Generations, and Rebirth 3, V-Generation. 15 pieces of DLC to match the original console release. Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 2 physical soundtrack, 15 tracks. Hyperdimension Neptunia Rebirth 3 artbook, and a collector's box. So, there you go. Not too bad. You can pre-order a trilogy pack from Amazon. With the Prime discount, the price is lowered to $55.99. So that's not too bad, I guess, for what you get. Eric, would you buy that?
Buy the Rebirth series on Steam?
Yeah.
They're not bad games, but the best one's the third game.
All right.
In terms of gameplay, that is, but the story, not so much.
Mm. All right.
The story in Neptunia 7, or Neptunia V2 is better.
All right. Breakman, next story, please.
Coming to us live from Gamatsu. Skipping the headline because I'm not going to fall for that again. Fate. I don't think we have a sound effect for that one. Extella, the Umbral Star, has been delayed from...
No, I got one. Fate.
Oh, God. That's awful.
Extella, the Umbral Star, has been delayed from its previously planned winter 2016 release in North America and will now launch for PlayStation 4 and PS Vita in early 2017.
I don't want either of you guys ever saying that ever again in the history of our podcast. All right, go ahead, break.
The game will be available in standard edition.
Oh, my God. No, I'm just kidding.
The game will be available in standard $49.99 on PlayStation 4 and $39.99 on PS Vita, and Noble Phantasm for $69.99 on PlayStation 4 and $59.99 on Vita editions. The Noble Phantasm edition will contain a 7.5 by 6.3 inch hardcover art book featuring over 100 pages of high quality artwork from Fate Extella. Or wait, I got that wrong. Whatever. The Umbrella Star, a pack of 16 collectible 3x6-inch cards depicting each of the game's servants, and a 24x17-inch cloth poster, all housed in a custom box. Sorry, I had to scroll a little. I don't know. You guys want me to read the story?
No, nah, I think we're good on that, man. So there you go. All right.
If you know what the Fate series is, it's basically... these people are fighting over the Holy Grail, and the Holy Grail grant a wish. Yeah. And these mages use servants, which are basically heroes from like the past, like King Arthur. But most of them, when they're summoned, they'll take on like a model. So like, despite the fact that they summon King Arthur, they might actually be in a female body. Something it's weird like that, but
yeah.
And most of the ones in the original Fate story were female, yeah. But like Fate Zero has like a character though that's actually a male, so it's not completely moe.
Yeah. All right, let's move on to the next story from Silicon Era, guys. Turn-based RPG Unlucky Mage is set to release on the Nintendo 3DS eShop this fall. A Nintendo's revealed on their official website that X creates turn-based RPG Unlucky Mage will be hitting the Nintendo 3DS eShop sometime this fall in North America. In addition to a few screenshots giving a look at the game, here's a brief overview. Various powers across the Adamantia continent have long fought. Okay, so just give you a bunch of story. With a plot full of twists and turns, Unlucky Mage will have gamers on their toes trying to outsmart foes using formations and tactics in this unique turn-based RPG. So, what was that? Are you all right there?
Shuffling.
You okay?
I love you, Frank. Oh, I'm sorry. What happened?
Yeah. Well, are you right there, man?
No, I thought my button was muted. Fuck.
Were you possessed by a lust demon?
Yeah, exactly. All right, I don't have any other news stories, guys.
It's all that sexy Senran Kagura stuff, isn't it?
Exactly. Maybe you need to get that game that we were talking about earlier, man. Freak 5 says he has a bunch of Stinkos. We're almost there, my man. Okay, so that's news this week. Any homie discount, Eric, or is that old, the PSN flash sale?
I think there's another flash sale, but I don't know what it is.
Okay. All right, Twitter questions. Breakman, anything on Twitter?
Twitter questions. Let me check here. I haven't actually looked through here, so I'm not sure if we have any. Let me see here. No, I don't see any.
Okay.
I know. No. I know. Freak sent me something.
You just stank up the entire chat.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, sorry.
Oh, man, that sucks.
I know he sent me something, but I can't find it. Anyway, sorry. Right. I'll find it next week, hopefully.
All right. So what have you been playing? Eric, what have you been playing, man?
Lots of stuff. I finished Dragon Quest VII.
Oh,
and shit. I'll have a review for that later.
How many hours did it take you, Eric?
About 95,
which
is
good.
Less than the 111-hour run I had for just the main game. The post game took like another 9 hours.
Okay, that's
so
cool.
It cuts out a significant portion of the fat in the game, like because like leveling up doesn't take nearly as long, and the amount of battles you have to play per class so you can get your ranks up has been reduced, so that also cuts down on time that you're spending in the game.
Alright.
And you get the zoom spell really early, so you can just zip to different places. Still can't warp in the past, though, which is kind of annoying.
Did what the hell, man, pull a DSP? Oh, man, DSP, man. Alright, I keep on trying to get DSP on this show, but to no avail. all right. Is that it, Eric?
Maybe we should get Son Hannity on in the show.
Yeah. Yeah, right.
Try it.
Hannity is such a putz, man. Like, he's such a dumbass. Like, anybody can take down Hannity. It's not rocket science. All right.
Alex Jones on this show. He'll combust on live air.
Alex Jones is interesting, but
I think he is a space lizard, though. I mean,
dude, I saw that.
You see the video of him going weird?
No, I didn't see that one, but I did see the.
I think the tweet was like something like, "We've reached peak Alex Jones," and it's like a video of him talking about God and going blah at the end.
Oh my God, I'd loved it. Love to see that one, man. I haven't seen that one yet. So
I tweeted it. So like, go ahead and check my timeline.
Yeah. All right. Anything else? From a couple days ago. Anything else you've been playing, Eric, or are you good?
Yeah, more than just Dragon Quest. I played a little bit of Sonic Boom Fire and Ice. I need to play a little bit more of that, along with River City Tokyo Rumble, a little bit more Criminal Girls 2, which is a game you should not play on the PSTV because apparently, for whatever reason, they decided to make the motivation minigames portrait mode in the later levels of them. And that means the screen... It has to be reorientated because it doesn't auto-orientate for you for whatever reason. So you end up looking at a portrait where it's been flipped 90 degrees.
What?
And, yeah, you could still play normally. It's just weird looking at a picture that's out of place.
Like 16 by 9.
So you might as well be playing on the PS Vita and just tilt it manually and play that way instead, because the touch controls are probably better for the game anyway.
That sounds like too much of a pain in the ass, man. All right, what else you've been playing, Eric?
I also played a little bit of Mystery Chronicle and Psycho Pass Mandatory Happenings, which is a visual novel based on the series. I played.
All right, what about you, Brake?
Almost played Attack on Titan. Then I learned that if you quit a session in Psycho Pass, you start over from the beginning, but it does save your all the previously read text, so you can skip through it. And the game's not very long, so I guess that's why they did it that way, but it's still weird.
All right, Break. What are you even playing, my man?
I don't think he's done yet.
No, I am done.
Oh, really? Oh, shit. Let me see. Played some Peggle 2 because it's Peggle, and played a lot of Assassin's Creed, actually. I'm pretty close to the ending of, like, the regular story mode, and I think there's some DLC that came with the content I bought. I don't know if there's extra DLC to buy or not. I don't know if I'd buy it or not.
Do they have speedruns of Assassin's Creed games? Like, a lot of the Assassin's Creed...
Is probably. There... Probably people beat it in, like, an hour or two, whereas I've played it for, like, a billion hours. What the hell is that noise? No a idea. Truck going down the road. Sounds like they're driving down the road with three wheels.
Wow. That's not good, man. Do you hear...
No, I have seen that, though. That's really sad.
What else have you been playing, Break?
Final Fantasy Record Keeper.
Yeah, my son was playing Dimensions, and Dimensions looks like a really neat little RPG.
But... Oh, I like Dimensions a lot. I think a lot of people didn't like it because of how much grinding you do in it, because there is a lot of grinding to do in that game, but I still liked it.
Yep, no problem for me.
What Dimensions?
Final Fantasy.
Just Final Fantasy Dimensions.
Oh. Yeah.
All right, anything else?
I don't know. Freak 5 Cast is trying to decide if he wants to go to a sausage party or not. Dude, why are you asking us? Like, you're really asking the wrong people.
Hey, feel free, man. Feel absolutely free to go to a sausage party tonight.
I mean, if you really want to go.
Yep.
Don't let anybody tell you that's wrong.
I recommend not seeing the movie, though, maybe.
At
least at full price.
Yeah, Eric's talking about the movie.
What?
Yeah, what movie? I've played a little Dragon Quest VII, MPQ mostly, though, always with the MPQ. They had, like, an anniversary event that I'm trying to get through, but, man, I don't know, it's kind of tough, but... All right, guys, let's move on to the stinkos of the week. Eric, do you have a stinko this week?
Not really, I suppose.
Yeah, what about you, Brake?
Mine goes to Hurricane Matthew and destruction it's already caused and the destruction it has yet to cause.
Yeah, it's looking pretty bad. I was pretty proud of a lot of the people down there are fairly prepared as much as you can be for a hurricane.
But there are always those assholes that when they're told to evacuate, they refuse, and then they beg for help.
Oh, yeah, they stay behind, and then they're on
top of the road. Told to evacuate for a fucking reason. They're not telling you to evacuate because they want to rob your houses or some shit. They're telling you to evacuate because you're going to want to not be there.
Yeah. God, man, I bet you there's people that do stay behind and, like,
I heard a report this morning, like, there are people, like, calling for help now because they refused to evacuate when they were told to. Now they're begging for help and they're trapped in the storm. Eric's laughing and I feel like I should laugh, but at the same time, like, it's sad.
Yeah.
No, I'm laughing because if I don't, I think I might cry instead.
Yeah.
Cry for their stupidity.
Yeah.
Yeah, I hope they make it out alive. But
yeah, I hope nobody dies. But you're like, when you do that, you're not only risking your lives; you're risking the lives of the people that are out there trying to help others. Because they're like a fire department and rescuers, stuff. People like that are going to risk their lives to save you, and they might lose their lives because you were arrogant, I guess.
Yeah. Oh man, how horrible, man. Yeah, that'd be an awful.
I hope nobody lives their lives.
Yeah,
a lot of people have already died, especially in Haiti. I mean,
yeah. Oh, that should be part of my stinko. Did you see? Who was it? It was a real prominent tweeter, a Twitter account was talking about how the government made up the hurricane, that it was all just a government hoax. Yeah, I can't even remember. I retweeted.
How do you make up a hurricane?
Yeah, I know. There are people.
It's all fake.
Yeah.
Don't look over here. And this isn't happening.
Right. The problem, if you have hundreds of thousands of followers, or even in the millions of followers, when you tell somebody to do something, you have great influence. If you're like a celebrity or, you know, there'll be those few people that will say, yeah, it's just a hoax. And like Brickman was talking about earlier, not evacuate. You know, it's just a big hoax, perpetrated by the government. And then maybe those are some of the people that are calling for help right now, Brickman. But, man, it's pretty sickening. Yeah, Hurricane Matthew, that really sucks, man.
I found the link.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Anything else on that, Brickman? Just that's pretty much it.
No, I mean, that's enough, isn't it?
Yeah. Mine is the vice presidential debate. It was it was just awful. Let's just put it that way. I'm not even.
Wait, you wasted your time and watched that?
I watch all those debates, man.
Both the running mates are apparently Christian evangelical nutcases.
They both are. They're
That's most of the people in Congress in Washington.
Yeah,
that's
true.
People don't realize that, but that's most of them.
Yep, that is absolutely true. And Pence is the worst of the worst. Pence is the one that wanted to divert funds from like AIDS funding, like research, development.
If we make jokes about how cheap Pence is, because apparently he's only worth a penny, which is almost the same thing as a European Pence.
Yeah, he's the worst of the worst because he wanted to divert those AIDS funds to gay conversion therapy, which is
where's the proof, Frank? Frank.
All right, guys.
I saw it too.
I'm back, guys. Yeah. So, sorry, guys. I got disconnected there, but that we were just talking about that. Are you guys moving on from the vice presidential BS?
Yeah, we're busy talking about sodomization and stuff.
Sodomization. Yeah. So, yeah, let's move on to our Sweetos. Eric, do you have a Sweeto this week?
I guess.
Okay, what's your Sweeto, man?
I actually forget, so I'll get to it later.
All right.
I remember.
Brickman.
Wait, what?
You have a Sweeto this week?
Did he just, like, forget?
Yeah, he just forgot.
No, I had a brain fart, so it's going to take me a second to remember again. Because okay. I kind of thought of it at this last minute anyway.
Yeah.
All right. Well, mine goes to the return of Arrow and Flash, and next week Supergirl and Legends of Tomorrow. So the DC Arrowverse is returning to television, and I love it.
Is the Supergirl stuff any good, Brickman? Because I have not seen that.
I quite enjoy Supergirl. Yes.
All right. Cool. Because I haven't seen one.
Yeah. Sure. As soon as she gets angry with me.
Yeah, exactly. Breaks your neck.
No, I thought Supergirl was just what you called your girlfriend.
All right. Let's see. Anything else, Break, Sweeto-wise?
I'm watching. I'm about halfway through Luke Cage right now. It's really good.
I was going to mention my Sweetos this week. I saw Jessica Jones finally.
That's a good show.
Yeah. And I really liked it. I guess I could do a review of that later if we get to it. But I really enjoyed it, man. It was a different type of superhero story. It was interesting, to say the least. And Luke Cage was introduced in Jessica Jones. I've seen I think two episodes of Luke Cage, and I'm really enjoying what I'm seeing from that series. So pretty good stuff. I do dig it so far. So.
Yeah, I'm about halfway through, and right now, Luke Cage has the best soundtrack of any Marvel property.
I'm going to be honest, but I think I didn't forget. I just thought I could think of something better, so I tried to stall for time, but I couldn't come up with anything.
That's all right. No worries, man. But yeah,
and it heavily benefits from Alfred Woody.
She's really good in it, man.
She's really good.
Yeah. I mean, that whole cast is actually really
I can't believe I just called her Woody.
Sorry, yeah, Woody. Woody Harrelson.
She's amazing.
Yeah, Woody.
She's a good actor too, actually.
Yeah.
A lot of people are upset at Luke Cage because, oh my gosh, it's a black show. There's not enough white people in this. Fuck those people.
Yeah. I don't even pay
attention. Show happens in Harlem.
They did that shit during Star Wars too.
Yeah.
Oh, there's a black person in this movie? Fuck this movie.
I don't understand that shit, man. Who cares, man? I never look at that. I don't care if they change colors either. Like if they were to change Spider-Man to
what's the universal problem with Marvel stuff Freecraft Cast has? I want to know.
I don't know. That's interesting, Freecraft. I'd like to hear what you have to say on that.
That they're too quiche for their own good, maybe.
No, he doesn't make any money off of it.
Yeah, exactly.
That's my big problem with the Marvel Universe.
Where's my check?
Exactly. Where's mine, goddammit?
But I do. I am liking Luke Cage quite a bit. I really enjoyed him in the comics. I always remember Luke Cage as like making special appearances in other, you know, comics like
what he means.
Hulk and you know, stuff like that. They make
Freak Five say chaos of things because they acknowledge the MCU, but they ignore. And I guess that means that they mention it, but they don't actually introduce any of those characters, which is it is kind of a waste.
Luke Cage is heavily connected to the world of Daredevil and Jessica Jones, but not to like the Marvel movies. Yeah. Or Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. or stuff like that.
Well, they're attached. They're all attached. But like what Freak Five is saying,
they're loosely attached. Whereas, like for instance, Luke Cage, there's an episode where it begins with Trish Talk.
Yeah,
which is a show in Jessica Jones.
Yeah, yeah, no.
And one of the character, and I guess I kind of ruin this a little bit, but Claire, who is prominent character in all three of them, is, you know, she's. Connects all of them.
Yeah, Claire's Night Nurse. I don't think that's any big secret. And I knew she was going to show up in the other shows. Just like she'll probably be in Iron Fist, too, because Iron Fist is going to be set in that world. But I kind of like the way that they're doing. It would be nice if they could pull those characters into the MCU with Infinity Gauntlet.
Well, Freak talks about Spider-Man is swinging around New York at the time, but just misses all the crime going on. He's in... Manhattan, I think. I'm pretty sure. Yeah. Like, he swings around Manhattan. They're in Daredevil's and Hell's Kitchen, and I forget where Jessica Jones is, and Luke Cage is in Harlem. Like, this is a huge city, and these people are very spread out.
Yeah, it's sort of like the way I try to justify it is it's like a huge city, like, even bigger than what New York is. You know what I mean? Like, they use New York as a setting. But it's way bigger than that. Like it's like a metro area more than anything. You know what I mean?
So, which is why they use that. I mean,
right?
Especially
which is why you're not seeing a lot of the destruction from the Avengers in these neighborhoods because it didn't happen there. It happened, you know, in Manhattan or wherever the fuck borough it happened. You know, so.
Freak has a point. Spoiler alert, but Luke Cage is seen on TV and mentioned being bulletproof, and this is after Civil War, so S.H.I.E.L.D. might try to recruit him, or Tony Stark should come around and get him to join the Avengers.
I fully agree with that, Freak Five.
Luke Cage's power? He's bulletproof.
His skin is impenetrable.
Is he like a mutant, or is he like?
No, it was an experiment gone wrong.
So he's like Spider-Man.
Yeah, in a way. But I just think that you could see any of those scenarios going forward, Freak Five. Like, that's a good way of getting them into the MCU movie universe is being recruited, you know. So I could definitely see them in the Infinity Gauntlet movies. So who knows, man? I mean, we could hope for the best and hope that we see all of these people interacting, including the Punisher, obviously, Doctor Strange, who's going to be in that universe, and Iron Fist. I want to see all these people, you know, in a Marvel movie. It would be pretty awesome, including Jessica Jones and Luke Cage. So.
And Wyland says I used to want the Flareverse to be part of the movieverse, but it would be more convoluted than this. And I can understand that.
Yeah, convoluted.
Oh, convoluted. I'm sorry.
Would it be more convoluted than Kingdom Hearts, though?
Yeah. And especially with comics, like there are so many versions of characters and different stories of characters and stuff like that. It's fine. To me, it's absolutely fine that there's a movie universe that's completely separate from the television universe.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah. No, it's fine. They're great on their own.
And so. Even like, for instance, Gotham on television, that's this thing is completely by itself in its own world, you know?
Yeah. All right.
Teenage Batman and shit, or teenage Bruce Wayne that isn't Batman yet, but the town also has like Poison Ivy and Mr. Freeze, so could really use Batman, so maybe he needs to grow up really quick.
Yeah, if MXT, if you're in chat, he would be like, oh, I think he left chat, but his favorite would be the Arnold Schwarzenegger version of Mr. Freeze. We don't need to mention that. Eric, you have a few reviews to do. Can we get these through these fairly quickly? All right. What do you got for us, man?
I saw Sully on Tuesday.
Oh yeah.
This is based on a true story. Actually, based on a true story. Unlike all those other stupid movies that claim that they are based on a true story.
Yeah.
And then superly exaggerated. But it's about a captain of a airliner. Apparently, like after like retiring from the military, he became an airliner captain. But he also was trying to set up his own flight instructor school. But during his last flight, they had a bird strike and they had to land in the Hudson River. But the whole conflict of the movie is whether or not he made the right call. And so they try to go over simulations and stuff like that. And it's a good movie that kind of displays ageism because he is quite a bit old in this film because Tom Hanks is old, but he's not that old. They obviously gave him like aged hair. They bleach his hair white to make him look older, but so it's basically ageism because like they're probably all thinking he's an old guy and he needs to retire, and so I think it was good from that angle, but it shows what kind of person he was because like, they show brief flashbacks in various periods of life, like back when he's learning to fly and when he's fighting in Iraq, I think. Or during Desert Storm, I'm guessing that's the time period it was. But I'd say if you like watching movies and want a break from something like actiony, then that's a good mellow out movie to see.
Yeah,
I'm giving it a 9 out of 10.
Oh wow, that's high praise.
It's not terribly long either. It's like only an hour and 38 minutes, I think.
Hmm. All right.
Surprisingly a lot of previews, though. Hmm. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
It's like, this is a lower key movie. You think there'd be less previews.
Yeah. Sometimes I don't mind them. Depends on the movie and the type of previews I get.
None of them are all that interesting to me.
Hmm. All right, what's next on the docket here?
We got Batman the Killing Joke, which... they definitely rushed this fucking movie. I mean, I haven't even read the comic series, but I could tell that there were elements that were missing. And I think this is a big problem with the Batman animated films as of late. There's just not long enough, and there's not enough time to develop the characters within the context of the film itself. Because, we don't really learn what Batman's actually referring to with the Abyss when he's trying to tell Barbara like what the Abyss actually is. And I mean, we know, but I think we as audience we need to see that, like especially for newcomers who just walk into Batman. Like, if you wanted something as standalone, it would probably work better if they actually explained things, but they don't really explain things because they only have an hour and 13 minutes for this film.
Yeah.
And not only that, but Kevin Conroy and Mark Hamill are there as the roles that they're supposed to portray, but they don't really sound anything like the characters that they should be in this film compared to the characters that they're used to playing because their cadence is different.
Yeah.
But it doesn't really matter since it's kind of ruined by the scripting anyways, because they come across as just phoning it in rather than actually getting a motive. And the whole way they dealt with Joker trying to break down Chief Gordon, Commissioner Gordon, was kind of rushed. And then when you get to that famous line about having the bad day, it's just a set of lines rather than this really dramatic scene.
Yeah.
And there's a Lego animation that is a dramatic reading of that entire scene from the actual graphic novels. And I think it captures the moment better than this film does.
Yeah, I would agree with you.
Have you seen that one?
Yeah, I have seen that one, Eric, and I would fully agree with that statement. I did read the comic, and the comic, man, it was a doozy when it came out, man. It was.
I also felt like they were trying to sell the movie to teenagers, and they cut back on the amount of violence.
Which is strange because it got a rated R rating anyways, and so yeah. they should have just went for the gusto on it. I agree, Eric. There was
and I'm not going to complain about the bat sex because why? It's first of all, calling it bat sex is stupid, and I don't see a problem with him fucking Barbara because I think in some of the storylines they actually did have a relationship.
Yeah, yeah. It's been a while since I've read Batman, man, but there's so many storylines I don't know. But I about the time Killing Joke came out is when I kind of petered off of Batman, not because it wasn't great, because it was, but money was always an issue trying to get all these comics.
Always man. About money. Yeah. But Batman and Bad Blood, on the other hand, was a slightly better film. But again, it suffers the same problem the other one did. There's just not enough time to develop these characters. And I mean... The movie assumes that you've actually kept up with the comics somewhat because it just throws these characters at you and it doesn't provide any backstory for them. Mm. Like Damien, I don't understand what his place in this film is. He's just there.
Mm.
And along with Batwoman.
Yeah.
Which is a different Batwoman from the Mystery of the Batwoman movie that was released like several years prior to this. Which features?
So it's not Kane? Who is it?
No, it is Kane. Katie Kane.
Oh, okay.
But the one in the Mystery of the Bat one was someone completely different. But
Oh, okay. I don't think I saw that one.
Which was not a bad movie either, by the way. But it's about how. Do you want me to spoil the overview of the plot?
Not really. I have not.
Basically, someone's trying to get Batman to do bad things.
That's what the Joker's always trying to do.
Yeah, not Joker though.
Okay.
But
spoilers.
Anyways, someone gets their head blown off, and it's actually a well-established Batman villain.
Hmm. Wow.
All I have to say is that it involves a certain mad person.
Hmm. Yeah, Weiland says Bad Blood assumes you've seen the other DTV movies.
The other movies. And I've seen them out of sequence because I haven't even seen Son of Batman yet. Hmm. But that might have given me context for Bad Blood. But apparently there was... Is this a original character or is this an actual character? There was a character introduced who is the son of Lucius Fox who ends up becoming... He calls himself Batwing, even though there already is a Batwing vehicle.
Batwing is, if I remember correctly, a comic book character. So I don't know a lot about
that. Is it the same guy, though? Or was Batwing just like something like an outfit that Batman wore at some
point. I have no idea. But I know there's a Nightwing, and I think there was a Batwing at some point, but maybe it was just made up for this one. Wyland would know.
This movie was better. I didn't even give a score for the last one. The last one I'd give a 5. I'd give this one a 6.5, maybe. Yeah.
So slightly better than The Killing Joke. I agree with you fully on The Killing Joke. I thought it was completely average and quite disappointing, to be honest with you. Bad Blood, I don't think I've seen. So, Son of Batman, Batman versus Robin, then Bad Blood. There you go. All right, Batman. What else you got?
Yeah, I think Batman versus Robin is the next on my list.
Yeah. What else you got, Eric? One more?
So I'll move Son of Batman up first instead.
Okay, see, I've seen Son of Batman, but I need to see Batman versus Robin and Bad Blood. In that order. Thanks, Waylon.
Yeah.
I mean, I already knew about the whole Robin him thing, but I never actually saw that event because I never saw that film. But, anyways, next review would be Dragon Quest VII. Yeah. And this is the 3DS release of the Dragon Quest VII Fragments of the Forgotten Past. A completely, fully realized remake of the original PS1 game that came out in 2000. They did a very good job of this game. It was actually developed by Art Piazza, who did the other Dragon Quest DS remakes. And unlike that game, which used Heart's engine from Dragon Quest VII, the original Dragon Quest VII, it uses an all-new 3D engine that looks similar to Dragon Quest VIII, but it's actually a little bit in between their remake of Dragon Quest V for the PS2 and Dragon Quest VIII.
Yeah, I noticed that quite a bit.
But I don't know if you've seen screenshots of the PS2 remake.
Yeah, I have.
But the characters are more detailed in this one than Dragon Quest V. But there's no voice acting. But they did also change the soundtrack from the Symphonic Suite version to MIDI instrumentation using the 3DS's sound set or whatever they're using.
Does that add charm to it, or does it detract, in your opinion, Eric?
I would have liked the Symphonic Suite there, but the Symphonic Suite had I think a lot of people online are saying that Koichi Sugiyama doesn't like lending out his licensing out his music that often.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess like he only agreed to do it once and only once for the Japanese release.
Okay.
But I think another reason they might have went with that route is because I suspect that this version of the game is actually a port of the mobile version of the game, which hasn't even been localized yet, but I'm going to assume they're going to eventually at some point. Because that version doesn't have the symphonic soundtrack either.
Okay.
So it's entirely... And it might account for the slowdown the game has, which is actually a hit to this game. I kind of wish they had fixed that. If it was in the original Japanese release, they should have fixed it. Mm. But outside of licensing, I think the only other reason they could have changed the soundtrack is because, from what I noticed of the gameplay of video that I saw on YouTube, it would only play about half the original track time of, so basically only go one cycle, but it would stop suddenly and then start up again. And that's not good coding.
That's kind of interesting, Eric, about the soundtrack there for sure. So
another
about
speculation I had was that there was space limitations, like maybe they only use a certain size cartridge, and adding streaming music to a game that already had 5 language text files in, which are all very large because the game script is huge.
Yeah. So what about gameplay, Eric?
But gameplay, it's been improved. You can actually see what the characters are doing when they fight now a little bit because it's using a weird 3/4 perspective, top-down view.
Yeah.
It's like a weird combo of that. It's like when you're like selecting commands, they'll be 3/4, and then it will go top down when they attack. But they reduce the amount of grinding you have to do because enemies will give you more experience, kind of like Dragon Quest VI. And they also reduce the amount of times you have to fight in battles to raise your job class levels.
Well, that's cool.
So instead of looking at like a 111-hour runtime for the game, you're probably going to look closer to 90 to 90.
Damn, that is a big difference.
Yeah, yeah. Well, that does cut out.
And that includes talking to each NPC in a town, like every time a new event happens, because the dialogue does change whenever a new event happens.
Yeah.
But it's not to the extent that Trail of the Sky does, but it's a nice plus.
Yeah.
But I did like I like the idea of using Dragon Quest IX's grotto like things with the fragments, traveler's tablets that you can pick up that basically are randomly generated dungeons that are given to you by other players. You can play their maps, level them up, and then get items. Like, it's like probably the best way to grind the seeds in the game so you could boost your stats beyond level 99.
I like that. That's cool.
And the one thing I wish they could have done in this version of the game is I wish they could have made getting monster hearts easier so you could play the monster job classes a lot more. And the one change that some people probably won't like, but I actually understand why they did it, but the higher tier job classes have, like the intermediate and the advanced classes have skills in them that can only be used in those classes. I mean, some of those skills appear in other job classes, but you can only use them as long as you're in that class. But I think what they did, though, to make up for that, though, is they let you permanently keep the monster class abilities, which some of those abilities are also shared by those base job classes. Yeah. So if you want, like, Omni Heal on your character without having to be a hero or something, then you can just get the Cure Slime job class.
Yeah. Dungeon Buster says 90 is respectable, much better than Mass Effect's 30, even though he did like Mass Effect. But yeah, that's a good number, man. 90 hours.
Anyways, I like that. I'm giving this game a 9.5 out of 10. No, that's too high. I'm thinking more like 8.5.
Yeah.
It's not my favorite Dragon Quest, but considering the original game, I'd probably give a 7. That's a big bump in quality.
Yeah, no, for sure. It's definitely a better quality game than it was on the PS1 for sure. So, all right,
I probably would have given it the 9.5 had it not been for the slowdown. And I recommend you play the game without the 3D on because it just makes the slowdown worse.
Yeah. I wanted to get to Freak
Although
Fives.
I do recommend playing with headsets because the music really sounds really good when you're wearing earphones or whatever.
Yeah, it does have a really good soundtrack for sure. I'm trying to find Freak Fives Stinko.
It's not as good as 8s, and it's definitely not as good as like 5s or even 6s, but
yeah,
it's still a good soundtrack.
Yeah. Let's see. I'm looking for Freak Fives. He had a bunch of Stinkos. He had a stray that they had been feeding that got hit by a car a couple days ago.
Ooh.
Freak Five.
What? So, Dungeon Buster's complaining.
No, I said
Mass Effect
ooh.
Was too long.
I didn't say ooh.
Or not long enough.
Yeah. What's that, Eric?
Which Mass Effect? Just the original Mass Effect? Is that what he's talking about?
I'm assuming he's talking about 3.
Yeah, Mass Effect 3 is like, why is this even a game? This should be a movie.
Yeah. So many people he was planning to meet at the Living Dead Festival now aren't able to go. That really sucks, man. with the mic. DSP is. Oh shit! I forgot about this. Dungeon Buster said this. We were joking about the mic, but DSP was busted a while back for leaving his camera on when he beat the meat. Oh my goodness, that's crazy. DSP.
I'm just kidding, everybody.
Now, Breakman does it every week, though, so yeah.
Oh, man, that's
every
crazy.
Week.
And then some other stuff there.
That's taking it lightly.
Yeah. So, we mean every hour?
Yeah, so. All right, do you guys have anything for Free For All? Eric?
He was talking about the first one. The first one was short.
Yeah.
The first one had a lot of filler, like those emissions to all those different planets where you're driving around with the.
They're all boring too. It's like an open world game, but worse. Because the planets are barren and not full of anything interesting.
Dungeon Buster says,
"Yeah, you're right about those. They were the worst part of the game."
Yeah, Dungeon Buster says, "LOL, ME3. That was an experience." Which is his polite way of saying that was it was an okay game, maybe.
Mass Effect 3 is a good Gears of War clone.
No,
it is. Not have a good story. The writing in it is, for lack of a better word, wooden at times.
What is the word on
everything else about the game is derivative. I mean, you've got enemy types that you see in like Gears of War. I mean, the big heavy types and the smaller ones. And it was a disappointment. I was disappointed by 3.
What is the word on Gears 4, by the way?
If you played online, that might be good for you, but I didn't care about the online. I care about the campaign, and they fucked up the campaign.
Yeah.
What the hell, man? Special ability? Infinite stamina.
Hey, what's the word on Gears 4? Does anybody know if it's getting really good reviews or anything like that?
I see 7 out of 10s places.
7 out of the... I heard like a bunch of...
I guess isn't bad considering how bad Judgment was. Judgment's awful.
I guess people were having a huge fit when, I think, what was it, GameSpot gave it a 7 out of 10.
Why? Media bias.
Media bias.
Like, no, these people only play games for your benefit. You think they'd be lying to you?
I mean, I'm looking at others like Post Arcade. I have no idea who that is, but they gave it a 7 out of 10.
I'll tell you, I've never heard of the company that made this game, though.
Jimquisition, you know, Jim's site there, formerly of Destructoid, 7 out of 10. New Game Network, 75 out of 100. So it seems like in line with what a lot – some people are going way higher. Matter of fact, a lot of people – maybe that's the outrage.
Those aren't bad scores, though.
No, they're not bad scores at all. Like 7 out of 10
is
like –
It just means
well
that you don't
average.
Need to pay $60 for it. That's what it means.
Yeah, that's what it means.
I'm going to rent it from – Redbox. Redbox has it on offer.
Yeah, I mean,
not a bad idea.
It seems
maybe,
like in line.
Maybe
like, I, don't know.
I can get like a month subscription to Xbox Live, and me and Break and play.
Yeah, I wish I had an Xbox One for a couple of games coming out on the Xbox, but that'll be second on my list, man.
My biggest problem with Judgment is that its campaign was garbage because, like, it was basically Horde mode the game. It's like, you already have a Horde mode in the game. Do we need more of that in the campaign? No.
Yeah.
It really was go from point A to point B to point C. Like, it seriously was.
Yeah.
And then the real reason the game's called Judgment is because it judges your every skirmish. There's a scoring system based on every point in the game.
Yeah, I think the Gears games are fairly fun. Everything I played has been good. I'm interested. I want to play 3 and then 4, but it's obviously 3 is backwards compatible with the 1, right? With the Xbox One.
Yeah, but I don't know if it's backwards compatible to the extent that you could play with somebody with an Xbox 360 if you have a one or whatever.
Oh, I gotcha.
Dungeon Buster says, from the impressions I've read, the online stuff is really fun, but the campaign is just kind of okay. The new company played it really safe, I guess. I care more about the online than the single player stuff. when it comes to games like Gears of War.
And see, I care about the campaign more than anything else because I don't play a lot online. But and I know
I don't play online because I'm afraid of getting killed a lot.
Yeah, I mean, if I'm so bad at online games, if Breakman and I were to play, Breakman would kill me like Wyland would kill him in Killer Instinct.
You'd be drunker than your character in Borderlands.
Well, Frank, he's talking about being drunk, you know, like if you play me tonight, like I'm drinking and stuff, maybe you'd get a kill.
Yeah, maybe one or two. I might get lucky tonight and kill you once or twice, Breakman. Yeah, that would be the highlight of my life if I could.
Let's play Let's Get Lucky tonight when you're playing.
Oh man, that shit's crazy, man. I don't know. I'm the absolute worst when it comes to online games, for reals. Wyland says
I should play it
calling you out.
I know. He's never online when I'm online, it's a problem.
Yeah, you guys should get together after the show.
Well, we have different life schedules. He's seriously never online when I'm online.
Pour your gameplay so we can see it.
Yeah. Yeah, Wyland's pretty good.
Man. I'll record it.
Use the share function.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you can use the share function on that shit. That's a cool little nifty feature of the new consoles that I don't have. God damn it, man! You guys make me envious in chat, man. For reals. Law break. So I guess that's it, guys. I just wanted to get a quick word in about.
I will say for Gears 4. A campaign being just okay after Judgment, I'd take that.
You don't like going for the point A to point B to point C? You're like,
no.
Hey,
I mean, the game was already linear anyway, so they made it even more linear and boring.
Who's played?
It's basically, if you boil it down, it's like Smash TV. You move from room to room to room. You know.
Yeah. In fact, I'd rather play Smash TV than Judgment. Because at least it's. Doesn't pretend to be something else.
Yeah. Smash TV is a pretty fun game.
Yeah, I love
it. And the weapons in that game are cooler anyway.
Yeah. Mm. I was going to ask about a
big money, big game. Prizes.
Yeah,
I will buy that for a dollar.
Yeah. Don't ever do that again, Breakman. You're exiled.
That's a thing that one of the guys says in the game, though.
Yeah. All right, guys. We're going to have to wrap it up. Here, my throat's my throat's on fire.
Yeah, hey, speaking of Smash TV, I still have it on the 360.
Yeah, Smash TV was fun, man. That game's awesome. All right, Eric, any plugs that you got?
Not really. But did anybody ever play Total Carnage?
Yes, yeah, it was a fun game. Total Carnage is fun.
I played more Smash TV than Total Carnage.
Yeah, they both were fun games. Best sound test voice samples, Dungeon Buster says, for Super Smash TV. Yeah. All right, Breakman, your plugs.
You can plug. Oh, I mean, you can follow me at break _ man and at RB Grinders.
All right.
Yeah. And,
follow. Oh, my goodness, man. I never, ever, 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 ever again, Breakman, ever. Let's see. I want to plug my Twitter account at Frank Branches. Check out if you have any wolf related or werewolf related news, send it to at Share the Wear. That's
think you said it right this time.
Yeah, I don't think I got it right, but I'm always afraid when I say that word, you guys are gonna give me shit for it. But send us all that news that way we can mention you on air and do another cool wherewithal, which will be totally fun.
Wait, I never got to the end of Total Carnage because I actually don't think I played it beyond a single rental for the SNES version. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know Hitler was in it, or yeah. Rather his head.
I remember Hitler in it at the end, like Dungeon Buster says. I that game was fun, Total Carnage. All right. Let's see. Nothing else. Stay safe this weekend, guys. We want to see you back here next week. Until then, we are out. Later, everybody.